Hey, it's Callie, and you're listening to the Hippie Haven Podcast. Every Wednesday, I release a new episode related to living harmoniously with yourself, others, and the planet, as part of my life mission to arm you with the knowledge and tools you need to spark progressive change in your community. If you're new around here, I'm the founder of two sustainable companies in the United States. The first I started at age 23 while in the U.S. Navy. It's called Bestowed Essentials, and it's a social enterprise that manufactures eco-friendly personal care and cleaning products while also providing living wage employment to people of all abilities. In only 4 years, we've grown from a hobby I did in my kitchen to now being the largest soap-making company in the state, and our zero-waste products are available in over 200 stores across the U.S. and Canada. My second small business is Hippie Haven. It opened in 2019, and it's the only zero-waste store in South Dakota. Along with our refillable and reusable products for sale, we also offer a wide variety of community resources at our shop, including a free food pantry, book library, redistribution station, recycling drop-off, small business pop-ups, educational workshops, nonprofit meeting space, political outreach events, and much more. If you're not in South Dakota, no worries. We have an online store too, so you can support us and get zero waste products from anywhere in the country. Take a second real quick to make sure you're subscribed to the Hippie Haven Podcast on your favorite podcasting app. It's available on all the major ones. You can also find the show notes and a full transcript for every episode on our website, hippiehavenpodcast.com. To learn more about me, the Hippie Haven team, and all the work we do, follow us online. We're on Instagram and TikTok as at Hippie Haven Shop, or just visit our website, hippiehavenshop.com. By the way, my zero-waste manufacturing business, Bestowed Essentials, is currently raising money via crowdfunding to help us create new sustainable products, improve our packaging, increase our accessibility, and to provide more jobs for people with disabilities. Any amount you can contribute today, whether it's $5 or $500, you'll be making a tremendous difference for our cause. The link to our crowdfunding campaign is in the show notes below. If you can't donate today, please share it on your social media, because every view and every dollar helps. My guest today is Molly McLaughlin. She's the creator of Sleep is a Skill, a company that optimizes people's sleep through a unique blend of technology, accountability, and behavioral change. The company was born after her poor sleep habits culminated into a mega-challenging bout of insomnia for months without end. With a background in behavioral change, Molly went down the rabbit hole to solve her sleep disturbances without sleeping aids. She became fascinated by chronobiology and, by extension, its practical applications to restore a state of homeostasis, not only to her sleep, but also to her life as a whole. Knowing the difference between a life with sleep and without, Molly's now dedicated her life to sharing the forgotten skill set of sleep. Today we talk about what good sleep is, how to get better sleep, what your circadian rhythm is, and more. Let's get started. So first, tell me about Sleep as a Skill and how you started it.
Yeah, great question, because I created Sleep as a Skill to really solve my very own problem around my sleep. And that was that for many years, I related to myself as just a number of labels in the world of sleep. I thought, you know, I'm a bad sleeper, I'm an insomniac, I'm a night owl, I'm a this, I'm a that. But I didn't really see it impacting my life too negatively. I thought that's just how it was for me. Until I went through my own period of insomnia while traveling internationally. And the plan was to travel, you know, one way ticket. My now fiance and I, you know, we packed up all our stuff, and that was going to be the plan. And yet we ended up having to come back early because I just could not sleep. The insomnia was that bad. And it was really concerning for me. It was kind of this rock bottom moment in my life of, you know, just a number of things weren't working. And it particularly where it became so unmanageable was with the sleep. And it became very clear that I was going to need to solve this problem very quickly if I wanted to be able to be productive person in the world. So it actually led me down this rabbit hole to kind of solve that problem myself. And then what I discovered in the world of chronobiology or circadian rhythms and what that would look like in a modern society to live within alignment of that really just changed the course of my life. So I couldn't stop talking about it. And then, you know, just sort of organically began doing some kind of small groups. And then it grew into, you know, we have online courses, cohorts, one-on-ones, podcasts, newsletters, all kinds of things kind of developed from that very problem.
So let's start with the basics. What is the circadian rhythm and how does it affect our sleep cycle?
Great question. So our circadian rhythm, as human beings, we are essentially diurnal creatures, and meaning that we're meant to really be active during the day and at rest at night. And on that, within that realm is a 24-hour rhythm or cycle that seems to happen, even if in studies where put people in spaces where there's no sense of time, there's no way for them to discern the timing for themselves, and yet they still seem to sync up plus or minus around this 24-hour rhythm. And so within that, what's really interesting, this was something that I didn't understand when I was struggling with my sleep, is that not only is that circadian rhythm present for human beings, but you can exist really on a spectrum, and you can either be on kind of the weak side, have a weak circadian rhythm, or a strong circadian rhythm. And I would certainly make the argument that most of us in the West are likely on the weak side of that spectrum. And I certainly was, you know, really on that weak side, because I was going to bed pretty much as the sun was rising for the most part for a long time. So, you know, aligning and living your life in alignment with that rhythm can really make a number of differences, of course, in your sleep, but then in all kinds of other areas of your health and well-being.
How much sleep should we be getting?
Great question too. So on the current number that's thrown out for healthy adults is between 7 and 9 hours. And of course, those numbers kind of shift a bit when you're younger, teenage years, and then as you get older. Later on, then we seem to go down in that number. And when you're younger, we seem to go up in that number. But what I think is super important, because there can be a number of people that might say, oh, okay, well, you know, I fall in that range, so no big deal. But what happens is, if we are existing on that weak circadian rhythm, and if our sleep schedule might be a little imbalanced, or, you know, going to bed one night at around one time and the next night a whole different time, extending that over the course of a year or multiple years, that can really be problematic for our overall health and well-being. And can result in a lack of a quality sleep. And then for many people, it's both. It's poor quality and quantity of those hours that they're logging.
What does quality sleep look like?
Yeah. So now this is an important thing to look at, because then I tend to get a lot of, also similar to myself, some, you know, type A type personalities that will be coming, and they want to get the perfect sleep. And, you know, if there's any sort of fragmentation, if they're waking up to go to the bathroom, if they're this, that, and the other, then it kind of gets logged in their brain as a failure or, you know, not optimal. But the truth is that we do know that, you having wake ups occasionally is not, something to be too concerned about. What we would say is poor quality sleep being, if that kind of ideal sleep architecture that we're looking to achieve routinely, where you're having, a certain percentage of deep sleep that you're going through, usually in the first half of the night, and a certain percentage of REM sleep that you're going through, usually in the second half of the night, that happens fairly consistently. You're having that at around the same time every night, and waking up at around the same time every night, and without too much deviation from that, because then the quality of that sleep can actually get impaired. The fragmentation, if those wake ups actually go up quite a bit, that can be a problem. And then in alignment with that, if there are some respiratory issues, kind of really acting up then that can be an issue too. So, you know, common ones being sleep apnea, being a problem for people around respiration. But even if you don't have necessarily sleep apnea, you might have kind of some obstructed breathing to a degree, or snoring, or, you know, favoring towards mouth breathing, and all of those things can impede that sleep quality.
I've heard quite a bit from friends of mine, like, oh, you know, I can get 5 to 6 hours of sleep every night and function just fine. Are they actually functioning fine, or are they maybe missing signs of sleep deprivation?
Yeah. So there are some interesting studies around that. And it is funny that you put it in phrase in that way, because in a couple studies that, you know, that are coming to mind, part of what would the result would be, so they would look at different groups and people that were sleeping over 7 hours, and then sub 7 hour group, and, you know, not too much less, but you know, say in the 6 hour range or what have you. And that group, the trouble was that their opinion of themselves was that they're fine. They're totally good. They got all the sleep they need. And yet when doing some performance-based tests, then they would find more errors, you know, more, and errors on a test is one thing. But then if you're driving a car, if you're flying a plane, if there's all these other things for really immediate danger, can be problematic. But then also, you know, your productivity. And then there's other studies that look into mood kind of dysregulation, other kind of side effects of having that sub, you know, kind of often 7 hour range is, your hormones can become a bit more imbalanced, depending on the severity and the length of that sleep deprivation. And, you know, just a common one can just be glucose, instability. And what tends to happen is then just the following night after really, you know, a night with poor sleep, then our glucose levels tend to go up. Our ability to, you know, our connection with insulin is a bit off. So you are craving more foods that are not going to necessarily be serving you. And it can be a bit of a snowball effect, because then you might be making choices that then will impact that following night. And so it can be this kind of vicious cycle, but that's just one example, but there's a number of other things. So immunity, can kind of take a hit when you are not getting enough of that sleep. That's part of with travel and sleep being impaired and, jet lag, that our immune systems can often take a big, hit when we do something like that. And that feels like something we can point to more, because it's an kind of extra special event, but often many of us are doing that without really going anywhere. And that can go in the camp of known as a very common one being social jet lag. So social jet lag is a term that really just points to that we've created our own type of jet lag, even though we haven't gone anywhere, as it relates to our social management. And so the common one, maybe pre-pandemics, would be managing your sleep cycles or your sleep schedules about the same Monday through, say, like Thursday, but then come around the weekends, then you skew your sleep so significantly that, you know, because of socializing, that then your experience as you go into Sunday and get into Monday is that now you feel off and you have difficulty sleeping. And those are all kind of those similar problems that we have with jet lag. But you didn't go anywhere. So that's part of the problem that we're looking at in our modern society.
Is there research on how COVID and current social events are impacting our sleep schedule or our sleep quality as a society?
Yeah, so COVID has been impacting sleep in interesting ways. And I think we'll still be uncovering what some of the results are with that, because there certainly seems to be split groups for what's happening for people with COVID. And because, as we know, many people are affected differently. So and some of the data that we're getting for this for on a mass scale comes from a lot of sleep trackers. So some data has come out looking at actually in some ways seeing people getting a bit more sleep and lowering of heart rate, which is surprising. And so some of that is pointing to people that have not maybe been as financially impacted can have, you know, the benefits of maybe now not traveling to their job and having a little bit of extra hours to now prioritize sleep, that can be a benefit. But then there's the other group that's really struggling, that has been financially hit, or their sense of their future really being shaken, and our ability to have a sense of peace and ease and safety, of course, and financial safety really hindering our ability to sleep well at night, not only to fall asleep, sleep onset, but sleep maintenance and our ability to have unfragmented sleep throughout the course of the night. So it seems to be kind of some two different groups that are emerging. The other thing that seems to be problematic for people with sleep during COVID and, you know, certainly seems to be forecasted is just this problem with now that we don't have, for many people, a clear construct by which, you know, it can organize our sleep. So if you're normally working at a 9-to-5 and you go into that office, then that, even though it might feel like, you know, a restraint we don't want to gravitate towards, in some ways that can be beneficial for our sleep sake because it's keeping us on some sort of rhythm. But so for people that have not been able to fine tune the ability to manage that freedom to kind of sleep in till when, you know, you decide to get up, then that can be a real learning curve for people. And I think there's a reason that a lot of the clients that come to me are somewhat entrepreneurial in nature or have flexibility in their schedule. And even though that is a alluring thing for them, at the same time, that's becomes quite possibly a negative for their sleep because now they're the ones responsible for managing every single day, 7 days a week, that they're getting to bed around the same time and waking up at around the same time.
So lastly, what advice do you have for people to improve their sleep schedule?
Great question. So there are a ton of things that we can do to improve our sleep. And I think it's important to put that out there. When I was struggling with my sleep, it felt like just complete mystification of how in the world to get myself back to being able to sleep with ease. And what I want to say, even if you're not in that type of state that I was, if you're still struggling with sleep or have difficulties, just one, stepping into this kind of concept that sleep really is a skill set, I think is important because, you know, in our modern society, there's so many things that we're doing that are throwing us off of that circadian rhythm we spoke of before. So the framework that I like to use with people is called circadian rhythm entrainment. And there's some very clear elements from there and really pulled from chronobiology, which is just the looking at the science of time and those time givers that will instruct the body on what time it is throughout the day and what it needs to be doing accordingly from a hormonal perspective, energy perspective, what, you know, certain organs are doing, what cells are doing, all kinds of things really demand a schedule. And from that, the first step or the first most important takeaway, if you get nothing from what I'm saying, is that light is one of the biggest factors to tune or set that master clock every single day. And our master clock is in our brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, directly connected to our eyes. And so that's why the eye and the light that's going into the eyes is so crucial. So what's the practical application is to ensure that each morning you are getting outside with no sunglasses, no hats, no, you know, scarves, blah, blah, blah. And you're exposing as much skin and eyes to that sunlight each morning for even if it's just a few minutes, start there. Because our skin, for much of our cells, have photoreceptors within there and all kinds of little tiny clocks that are all connected to and kind of tuned with that master clock that we spoke of in the brain. So the light is going to be the big one for that. So make sure you get as much of that light as possible, but particularly in the morning, really important for setting our hormones and getting that clock on schedule. Then you want to also make sure on the flip side of light is darkness. And melatonin is known as the hormone of darkness. So you're going to want to get as as much darkness in the evening as possible. So really dimming your light environment, it's really trying to almost take the candlelight challenge, and which is anthropologists I had on the podcast coined this, to take a candlelight challenge and see what would happen if for, even if you did this for say 2 weeks, what your sleep would look like if you just had candlelight post sunset. And I can almost guarantee you that you will feel the difference with even just that alone. And then certainly when you go to sleep, having total darkness. So the light, the darkness, and then the second thing underneath that is temperature being really important for our, for that circadian rhythm strengthening. So you're going to want to have your temperature, body temperature being as high as you can during the course of the day, active, doing lots of things, moving around. That's when you're eating your food, you're, you know, exercising, you're doing those kind of charged conversations that you've been putting off or whatever, you're taking all that action. But then in the evening, you are really even putting your ambient temperature down in your environment, but then you're also conducting yourself in a way that's going to actually bring down your body temperature in the evening. So along with the types of, you know, activities or entertainment that you're engaging in, your thoughts that you're engaging in, and then any sort of like more relaxing type of movement from yoga, light walks, whatever, that are going to kind of calm the body down. And then also food timing. So trying to have your food be your last meal ending a bit earlier on the side of things so that then your body can go into more of that fasted state going into the night, so that that can actually really help with improving the sleep quality that you're getting. So those are some of the top most important things to touch on to improve your sleep.
And then of course you have an entire business built around sharing how sleep is a skill. So where can we go to learn about your business, Sleep is a Skill?
Yes. So if you go to sleepisaskill.com, that acts as really the bucket for all the things. So basically you can go to sleepisaskill.com and there you can one, fill out a sleep assessment, and then you'll have a, you know, kind of real live person responding on what, where your sleep is kind of at and some practical things you can do to begin to make a difference with that. You can, if you're really struggling, you can join some of our upcoming cohorts or one of the courses that will actually be a new one we'll be releasing in 2021. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter every single Monday that goes out. I call it the most obsessive sleep newsletter on the planet because I get really, really into this topic. So there'll be lots of information in there for you, hopefully lots of resources that you can use to improve your sleep. And then we have a weekly podcast that comes out or comes out each week on the topic of sleep. And then you can also, of course, follow us on all the social media platforms. And we do have a free downloadable PDF called the Optimized Bedroom. So different ways from low tech and high tech ways to kind of shift your sleep environment really immediately to make a difference there with your sleep, hopefully tonight.
Perfect. Well, Molly, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge today.
Well, thank you so much for creating a forum that allows myself and other people to share what's important for them and help make a difference in the areas that, you know, matter to them. And I really appreciate you taking the time today and asking such great questions.
And that's a wrap. Now it's time to take action. If you have trouble sleeping, try one or all of the ideas Molly suggested in this episode. Get outside in the morning, turn the lights completely off in the evenings, and go to sleep and wake up at the exact same time every single day. For further impact, check out Molly's website, sleepisaskill.com, to learn more about getting a better night's sleep. I'll be back next week with an episode about the Rainforest Alliance, who they are, their mission, and how we can all get involved. Remember, knowledge is power, so if you learned something from today's episode, share it with someone you know who'd also benefit from this free resource. If you share the podcast on social media, don't forget to tag and follow us at Hippie Haven Shop, or my personal Instagram is at hippie.ceo. This podcast is produced with the help of my communications coordinator, Ray Lynn, who also helps produce our Hippie Haven YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on YouTube to see more behind the scenes at our zero waste company. You can also support our environmental advocacy work here at Hippie Haven by leaving a review for this podcast in whichever app you're using to listen, or buy us a virtual cup of coffee to keep us going. Visit buymeacoffee.com/hippiehaven to support our work. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.